Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's an opportunity for us to look at God's Word in a very special way, and I hope that you will enjoy and appreciate and be encouraged by the things that we do this week. We'll be here through Wednesday evening, and as we said a while ago, only two services, really, other than our regular services, in this series of meetings, so shouldn't be too hard to be here for all of them, and I hope that you will be. I will say again, for those of you that weren't here in our earlier service, that we are looking this morning at a couple of great passages from the Gospels, the teaching of Jesus concerning our living and the responsibilities that God has for us in life. And I'm going to call your attention just now to a passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew. And it will be a very familiar Scripture to you, I think, in chapter 25 of the book of Matthew. Everybody have a Bible? Hold your Bible up. Let me see your Bibles. Very good. I would guess that the elders and preacher here are asking you to bring your Bibles to services. And you want to do that. I will say, sometimes it's kind of nice for your neighbors to see you go out of your home on Sunday morning with a Bible and know that you're going to worship. You never know what kind of an influence that will be for good. And for people to see this building filled up with people wanting to serve God, that's an influence on others as well. We need all the influences we can these days in our country, as there are attacks upon our faith and our dedication to the Lord on almost every hand. And I regret that. I think that's stronger than it was several years ago. But we need to be showing our faith and exhibiting our belief in God and letting that influence be known in every way that we possibly can. It's always good to be back in Tennessee. We live in Florida. We've lived down there since 1971, actually. But my wife and I both came from Middle Tennessee. My grandparents' home on my daddy's side was up at Manchester, so that's right here close. My aunt, my dad's sister, worshipped at Tullahoma in some of her later years and lived around here. Linda, my wife, is from Franklin, so I want you to get to know me. I'll get to know you, and we will be very close brethren in Christ and good friends before the week's out, I hope. But let me call your attention to this passage in Matthew 25 now for a few moments in our worship today. There are really three stories here in the passage. One has to do with 10 bridesmaids who were called to a wedding, five of whom met their responsibility to be ready to participate in the wedding, even though there were some difficult circumstances apparently that delayed it to start with. The second story is about three stewards or servants who were given responsibilities, two of whom met their responsibilities and one did not. And then the third story is a story about judgment and how that responsibility is met by some sort of judgment in the end. And that is obviously true. We don't have time to go into all of these stories, but I want to focus on one person in the next few moments. In the second story that Jesus tells here in Matthew chapter 25, and I'll read to you these verses, verse 22 just a reminder, in case you don't remember, there are the first servant was given 5 talents when his master went away. To use, he was given the talents to use in the service or for the business of his master. The second servant was given 2 talents, and the third was given 1 talent. Now, I'm going to read about the 2-talent man here, beginning in verse 22. So you read along with me, if you will. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. In other words, he had doubled the value of what he had. Look, I have gained 2 more talents, the man had said. And he said, well done. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, I have chosen to talk about this 2-talent man because I think he is in this story in a very unique and purposeful way. Jesus tells us about this 2-talent man on purpose. This is not a throw-in into the case. There's a 5-talent man. I don't know about you, but I don't relate to him particularly well. And the reason is there are very few 5-talent people in the world. There are a few Michelangelos. There are a few great coaches. There are a few great men who are well known nationally or internationally, either in their lifetime or after they have passed. The 5-talent man, I don't relate to very well because he's really an outstanding kind of a person. And I don't want to relate to the 1-talent man because he wasted his opportunities. He didn't handle his life and what the Lord, the Master, had given to him in the right kind of way. So I don't want to be like him. He is one who just didn't do what he should do in life. But the 2-talent man, I think we can all relate to. Everybody here has great blessings from God and has some things that God has given him that are unique to him. And some of you in this audience have more than others, maybe, but you are serving God with what you have. And that's what we want to see in this story. What I want to suggest to you is that there are 3 or 4 things that this 2-talent man had to come to grips with that the 5-talent man didn't have to, and the 1-talent man didn't have to. They should have understood life better than they did. But the 2-talent man does understand some good things that all of us want to be sure we have in our minds and in our thinking. Let me suggest these things to you. I'm going to suggest 4 things to you in the next few minutes. The first one is all talents are given by God. Now, what you need to know about the talents is that in the story, a talent was a piece of money It was a value of money. Actually, it was a weight. And gold was weighed by this amount. And silver was weighed by this amount in their culture back then. So talent was money. And you can exegete the passage properly by understanding what a talent was. But when we think of a talent, sometimes we think of an ability. Sometimes we think of maybe some other kind of gift that we are given. So a talent might be an ability that we have. It might be some blessing that we have in our person. It might be, am I doing that? That didn't do it either. While this is going on, I'll tell you a little story. We have a big oak tree in our front yard, right off of our front porch. And last week, they came in and had to take that tree down. It had gotten diseased, and it was hanging over our bedroom on the second floor of our house there. And we were afraid it was going to destroy our house. So they took the tree down, and it had a sound similar to that. And the next day, they came in with one of these grinders to grind the stump out, and it sounded worse than that. So there are things better and there are things worse. Funny sounds, I guess. You all have several different funny sounds. Your soul sounds that way, too. All right, let's go back to our story now. What we were looking at is this man was given two talents. Talents were money. But we might make an application of this text to our abilities, to other blessings that we have, to opportunities that we have to serve God. We are given opportunities. We are blessed in many ways. You may be talented. You may be beautiful. You may play ball real well. You may be an artist. You may have other kinds of abilities. Just understand that you are given those opportunities and those talents by God. And the point of that is that we all are given different talents. We need to understand that, and we need not be resentful. We need not of others that have certain talents, and we need not be envious of others who have them. We neither should be proud of what God has given us, because it's God that gave it, and it is not really all on our own. We're expected to enhance our talents and use our talents in God's service. But we must always realize that what we have because of God. And that's true of our wealth and our other possessions that we have as well. Let's all learn to recognize that every good gift, I'm going to quote from the Bible now, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. It comes from God. And we have what we have because of God. So if you're beautiful, be thankful for the blessing. If you're handsome, young man, or you're athletic, or you have some ability in some way, be thankful for that. But use it. Don't be proud and don't be envious of others who have other talents. All right, now that's number one. This two-talent man had to understand that the talents were given to him by God. Secondly, he had to understand that they belong to God still. You got that? They are in His care, but the Master came back. And when the Master came back, the servant had to give Him back the talents that he had loaned to him during that time. You know, life is like that, isn't it? We have some things that we say we possess. We possess a house, maybe. We possess these automobiles. We possess a bank account, maybe. And we say, that's mine. Be careful. It's God's. God has put it on loan to you. God has made it so that you have these blessings. They are given to you by God, but temporarily. And the way we know that is one of the richest men in America passed away this past week, a billionaire, multi-billionaire. And the question now is, who gets all his stuff? Where does it go? He doesn't have it anymore. And it goes to someone else. And do you know what? God will give it to somebody else to use, just like he gave it to this other fella to use. And he'll be expected and judged on the basis of how he uses it. That's what life is all about, isn't it? What God is telling us with this two-talent man is he had to realize that what he had belonged to God still. He was only a steward. Do you know what a steward is? A steward is somebody who has something to use that belongs to someone else, but he's expected. A foreman is a steward on a ranch, for example. Your person who handles your account at one of the brokerages, he's a steward. The money he's trying to manage for you is not his. It belongs to you, right? So, a steward. Jesus tells several stories about stewards. But the main thing he says, ultimately, in each of these stories, when he gets through, is the steward is expected to be faithful. Now, that's what God says to us. I'm going to give you certain abilities, talents. You use them in my service because you'll be judged on the basis of that service and what you do. You have some possessions. I gave it to you, God says, to use while you're here on earth. Use it to my glory. Use it in the service of others. Use it for good, not for evil, and your life will be meaningful. When you give it back to me, I'll say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you see the story and what is true in this case? What Jesus is saying about this two-talent man? Now, here's something else he had to realize. I want you to think about this. This is number three. He had to realize that he was only given a few talents and somebody else was given more. Is that interesting? He's not the five-talent man. He was only given two talents. And I want to suggest to you that most of us are like that. Most of us have a couple of talents and we're expected to use talents. Others have more, maybe, than we have. And how do we feel about that when others have more? Do we get proud of what we have? Or do we resent the fact that the others have more than we have? It's a story that is true in most of our lives. And what that story really says is that God has a variety of things that we are to do in life. God knows that not all of us can do the same thing. And we need to realize that we cannot do what others can do in life. I cannot do a lot of things that other preachers cannot do. And I cannot be a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team like others can. There are life things that God... Somebody says, why do you think God made it so different? Well, it wasn't because he had it in for me and he liked the other guy better. It's because God wanted me to do certain things and to use certain talents that he has given to me. And it's my responsibility to do that in life. There is a passage of Scripture I'd like to point you to that we often overlook. It's over in the book of Romans, and it's in chapter 9. And let's read just two verses. I'll just read two verses of this. It's in verses 19 and 20. And he says, you will say to me then, why does he still find fault for who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, now listen, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? You see, God made us. God had things in mind for us in our lives. Influences perhaps we can exert over others. Opportunities. No one person can do all of those things. No one person can influence everybody else. So it takes all of us. And that's true in the church of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul brings out, when he's talking about the spiritual gifts, he says that certain gifts are given to certain ones to meet certain opportunities. And they're not given to everybody, but they're given to some. And so it is in our lives, you see. God loves diversity. You see that in nature, don't you? And God loves diversity among us. So the key to all of this, what I'm trying to say to you, and probably not doing a very good job of it right at the moment, I hope I'm not confusing you with what I'm saying, but the idea is that every one of us is necessary. Every Christian is important. To the extent that I don't do what I can do in this church fails to that degree to accomplish all that God wants it to do. And so God says to us, be faithful. Serve as God sees us serving. Serve as God has blessed us to do. Do all I can in the service of the Lord. And then God will be pleased. All of us are different. Everyone in this assembly is different and has different opportunities. There are things, there are people that you can reach with the gospel of Christ that Mike can't reach, that the elders can't reach. But you can influence them for the Lord. Take your opportunities to serve Him and glorify God. So this person, this two-talent man, realizes that he only has two talents. Now, number four, the fact that he did not have five talents is not held against him. When the judgment comes, he is responsible for the two talents he had. And he returns four, he doubles what he had. But the other man gave five back. The fact that this man only had two back was his blessing. He had done what he could with what he had. So the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." And that's what the master will say to you. You use the talents that you have, and God will bless you and give you the eternal reward. Let me say it this way to you. We were talking about a lady who had lost her husband that Jesus noticed a while ago in our class. That widow, if she does what God wants her to do, will be as blessed as any member of the congregation. Let me just tell you of a woman. Her name is Virginia. She's a member of the church at Citrus Park. She's now in her 80s. Her husband died when she was in her late 60s. Virginia, when Gilbert died, grieved for a short term, and then she redirected her whole life to service to God. I can't tell you how many people every week she takes to the doctor, or she takes food to. She helps in some way. She buys something for them to encourage them. She has given her life to the Lord and redirected what she has done with her life to serve God in her later times. I'm going to tell you something. A woman who cooks for somebody that's sick, a woman that goes and cleans the clothes for someone whose children are sick, a woman who in any way serves others is going to go into heaven right alongside the greatest preacher that ever lived, if that preacher goes in. Does that make sense? So we need to use our talents, is the message of the story, isn't it? And the two-talent man understands the importance of that. We don't want to be like the one-talent man and bury our abilities, bury our talents, bury our usefulness in God's kingdom. I don't know what your particular gifts from God for while you live are, but you probably know some of them. And if you look, you may see some more in your own life. Use your service to God. That's the message of the two-talent man. Some of you in this audience may not have even begun serving God may not even have begun as a Christian committing to the Lord anything really in your life. Don't you think it's time to obey the gospel, to become a Christian, to do what you know is right? So the gospel says, believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Bible says, repent, turn away from all those things that offend God. Repent or perish, the Bible says. And then the Bible says, be baptized. Except you are born again of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says. So if you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, then this will be the time for you to do that. Won't you come, obey the gospel, and be saved from all your past sins and begin to walk a life that uses your talents for the Lord? Won't you come while we stand, while we sing, please?